everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, we are in the official monsoon lull period here after a very productive start. I think we're about at 6 inches up at the Buckmaster Bungalow, so that's not too bad. But very, very, 20% rain chances for the next 10 days or so. There are a couple of 30 or 40s in there.
When are the dog days of summer?
The dog days of summer?
Is that August?
Yeah, I think we're looking at it. All right, the Buckmaster Show, Friday, August 2nd. We are on 1030 KVOI, The Voice, part of our growing presence of Bustos Media here in town, five radio stations under one roof. In January, the Buckmaster Show begins our 15th year for our radio show, and let's see, that'd be 37th year in Tucson broadcasting. We have our worldwide live listening podcasts, all of it available for you at buckmastershow.com, and of course our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. A couple of media shout outs on this Friday, thanks to Dylan Smith and his team, one of his team members with me in studio, who I'll introduce in a moment. TucsonSentinel.com, big supporter of what we do here, as is Dan Scheer in the Green Valley News, his team there, not only the news, but also the Sahorita Sun. And we have our latest media partner is the Tucson Agenda, which is, we're glad that Kurt and Caitlin are doing that, and they're also big supporters of what we do. Our Friday Focus interview today with Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays. Chris, a Democrat elected in 2022 by just 280 votes in one of the closest elections, maybe the closest in state history. Previously, Chris was a professor of practice at the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law and the former chair of the Arizona Corporation Commission. With me in studio for our interview with Chris Mays, Jim Ninsel, who spent more than 30 years with the Tucson Weekly as senior editor. He's now a political reporter for the TucsonSentinel.com. Pretty much half of Jim's salary comes from the nonprofit Report for America, and I'm glad it does, and I'm glad they're supporting you. Hey, good to see you again, Jim.
Thanks, Bill, and I just want to remind listeners that we were in here on Wednesday, and you said monsoons are over, and I got in my car and started driving, and black clouds came rolling in.
That was a nasty drive home for me, too. It was like a huge dust storm, and whoa.
I don't want you jinxing it.
No.
That's all.
All right. Let's go to Phoenix. Chris Mays. Chris, how are you?
Hey, Bill. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing? I'm a little jealous, though, about all that rain you're getting.
Yeah.
You're doing Phoenix, better than we are up here.
Yeah, you're in the dry belt. I'm in the banana belt here in the Tucson Valley. Those storms, they roar off the Catalinas, and we're kind of in that central foothills, and we seem to get a lot of rain. Hey, Chris Mays, Arizona law requires an organization called the Legislative Council to prepare what's supposed to be impartial analysis of all the ballot measures, and there could be a bunch of them in November. Yep. This is the wording that goes into that pamphlet that everybody receives, like 4 million registered voters. I understand it's your contention that this Republican-dominated council is acting in a way to kind of improperly influence voters.
Yeah, we have objected, Bill and Jim, to two of their descriptions on two of the initiatives, including the Abortion Access Initiative and the Make Elections Fair ballot initiative. And yeah, we think they're trying to put their thumb on the scale to improperly influence voters, probably against both of those measures. I'm not taking, obviously, in making the filings that I made on those cases, I'm not taking a position on them, but I'm saying that voters have the right to have fair and impartial descriptions of the actual and accurate descriptions of the actual measures. So, in the case of the Abortion Access Initiative, they were using very inflammatory language. I think they had proposed the use of the word words unborn humans to in describing abortion. We suggested using words such as pregnancy or fetus. And then in the other initiative, Make Elections Fair, you know, it was clear that they were trying to sort of, you know, influence that the vote on that by emphasizing the most controversial aspect of the initiative, which is ranked choice voting, by talking about ranked choice voting straight off the top, when in fact ranked choice voting is a potential part of what that initiative is proposing, but it's not necessarily going to happen if voters approve it. It might happen, and it would happen only under certain conditions. So that's kind of where we came down on that one.
All right, let's bring in our friend Jim Nintzel.
Well, as long as we're talking about abortion in Arizona, it appears as though there's still a court battle going on about that 64. You know, it's so hard to, you know, I think back those years.
Just yesterday. Civil War was underway. You know?
Right. We weren't a state. Women couldn't vote. Women couldn't wear pants, guys.
The years do start to blend together after a few. But there is still a court battle going on, even though the law has been repealed. And I'm just wondering if you can talk about, bring us up to date on what's going on.
Yeah. So we, you know, absolutely right, Jim, that the legislature, thank goodness, repealed the 1864 abortion ban, again, of course, brought to us by Donald Trump and his friends on the Supreme Court that he put onto the Supreme Court, which allowed through Dobbs this issue, obviously overturning Roe, and threw it back to the states. States like Arizona had abortion bans that snapped back into place. We have two abortion bans. One is the 1864 ban. The other is the 15-week ban. Both of those bans have no exception for rape or incest, by the way. So I consider them both extreme for that reason alone. But you're right, 1864 was repealed. I had managed to get a delay in the implementation of that. Unfortunately, our Supreme Court had upheld the 1864 ban. We had argued against that. My team here at the AG's office obviously argued against 1864. But the Arizona Supreme Court disagreed with me. We then successfully got a series of delays in the implementation of that. And then most recently, you know, just sort of in a belt and suspenders way here, got another delay in the implementation of it. So we think that it will never, ever, ever go into effect, and it's, you know, dead. But basically, it was an effort on our part to make sure that it never goes into effect.
What do you think about turnout if the measure on abortion makes the ballot? Going to be a difference maker in the state of Arizona, Chris Mays?
I think it sure will, Bill. I mean, I think it has. It's going to have a huge impact up and down the ballot. I think that it's going to be very, very popular. It will draw people out, you know, we're going to see it have an effect. I mean, I don't know how much of an effect it will have, but I know there's a lot of momentum behind it. My goodness, they've got more signatures to put it on the ballot than I think any other initiative in the history of the state of Arizona. So that tells you something. I think something like 1 in 10 voters actually signed the initiative to put it on the ballot.
That is correct.
So that kind of tells you there's a lot of support for it. And I think that at the end of the day, it may end up, being partially responsible for flipping this legislature, or at least flipping one of the houses of the legislature, which you guys know I think needs to happen.
Jim, do you want to do a quick
there's still opponents of this abortion initiative are still fighting in court, saying that those folks who signed the petition were misled. Where's that case at?
Going to the Supreme Court, if it's not at the Supreme Court. There may have been a hearing this morning on it. There was a hearing on it this morning, Jim. I don't think that's going to succeed. Nobody was misled. So I believe this will be on the ballot. People will have the chance to once and for all make a decision about this. And it really should be the people of Arizona who decide, this question of whether they can have access to abortion care and reproductive care. And I think the vast majority of Arizonans don't believe that politicians and lawyers and judges ought to be making those kinds of very private decisions on their behalf, nor do they think that prosecutors should have the right to go after and prosecute their doctors. And that's something, as you guys know, I've been working on to try to make sure that nobody, obviously I have said I will not prosecute any doctor, nurse, or pharmacist under either of these abortion bans. But, up until this ballot initiative passes, we have this period where that has been a question. I've also made it clear to all 15 county attorneys, don't try to do it or I will try to stop you in court.
All right, let's take a break right here. More with Attorney General Chris Mays. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Friday. Jim Nintzel also sticks around. We'll have more with the Attorney General right after this break.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates. Nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Jim Nintzel is here from TucsonSentinel.com and on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, the Attorney General for the state of Arizona, Chris Mays. Chris, these artificial intelligence scam calls have a lot of our listeners concerned. Is your office concerned as well?
Yeah, we really are. And it's on the rise. AI, you know, obviously AI has an upside. It can be a tremendously powerful tool, but it has a very dark side as well. And we are seeing an uptick in the number of scams involving AI, especially voice-related scams in which people are getting calls, for instance, from what they believe are loved ones who are saying, and their voice has actually been cloned by these fraudsters who are saying that they're being held captive or they need money, ransom-related scams. And then they're being directed to, you know, send or wire money, it's really troubling. I had someone at my dry cleaners tell me that happened to them. Mm. So it's becoming. We had someone here at the AG's office who had that happen to them. Mm. Their daughter at NAU's had her voice cloned, and through AI. And, you know, so what we're saying to folks is make sure that with all your loved ones and your friends, you have a safe word. So you can ask that person who calls you, what is our safe word? And if they don't know the safe word, then it's mm-hmm. very likely a scam. The other thing we're saying to people is don't pay in Bitcoin and never send gift cards. In payment. So oftentimes they'll ask for that, which is very hard to trace.
Anything your office can do?
We can sometimes. The problem with all of these scams is that it can, especially when it's in Bitcoin or gift cards, it's hard to trace, and oftentimes they're doing it out of country. Mm-hmm. So that becomes really, really difficult from a law enforcement standpoint, trying to catch these bad guys who are not even located in the United States, you know. And you can imagine you have phone numbers, you can clone people's voices. Now all they need, guys, is the snippet of your voice. So just imagine how much of ourselves we're putting out there on the internet. I mean, just the three of us being on the radio right?
Oh, yeah.
how much of ourselves we put on Facebook or on Instagram. Hmm. And all it takes is a little bit of your voice to be able to then clone it.
Hmm. Very scary. Here's Jim Nintzel.
Your office also filed a lawsuit regarding RealPage, Utah. Apartment hunting website that landlords use, and you're concerned about some price fixing, I think, among those apartment owners. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is a really, we think this is a really groundbreaking and incredibly important lawsuit for Arizona renters. And basically, we filed a lawsuit, as you mentioned, Jim, accusing RealPage, which is a software company, and nine major landlords in Arizona of engaging in what I call old-fashioned price fixing using new technology. And and to give you a sense of how it worked, or it works, is that RealPage, the software company, has an algorithm, and they ask these landlords, they get all these landlords together to collude with one another, and they say to the landlord, send us all of your proprietary information, and we will spit out to you using our algorithm what we think you should set your rent for. So essentially, they have obliterated the competitive market. There is no rental market in Arizona. There's no marketplace in broad swaths of Phoenix and in Tucson. We believe that 50% of the Tucson market is controlled by RealPage and the landlords who are colluding with them, and 70% of the Phoenix rental market is controlled by RealPage and the landlords that are colluding with them. And that is why we think you've seen this extreme escalation of rents in both Tucson and Phoenix. And now we're also investigating whether it's happening in Flagstaff as well. This is really awful, you guys. You know, people are suffering, and rents are really high in Arizona. And that's why I'm taking this case so very seriously. The Attorney General of the District of Columbia has also filed one of these lawsuits, and I think one other state at least is looking at it as well.
Before we go, and we'll let you go here in a couple of minutes, but an update on the fake electors indictments. What can you tell us? Where is that?
Yeah, well, the case is ongoing, and I don't have a lot to add. Obviously, the arraignments have all been completed now. I think what we can expect is a lot of motion work, a lot of motions between both sides, and you know, it's likely to. I think the trial is likely to be pushed into early next year. We are prepared, though, for October, if that's when the trial occurs. So we feel good about the case. We feel, you know, obviously it was important, we thought, in the interest of justice to bring that case hold these defendants accountable.
All right, let's go back to Jim Nintzel, who still has quite a few items in his stack of stuff, and let's see if we can cover a couple of them quickly.
Yeah, and I wish we had another 90 minutes, General Mays.
Me too.
But let me just, since we only have a couple of minutes, let me ask you about, you've prosecuted some folks who have made threats to elected officials, and I'm just wondering if you can talk a little bit about what's going on with elected officials and what appears to be a heightened atmosphere of threatening efforts against them.
Yeah, and I've been making it clear since I was elected, Jim, that we have a zero tolerance for threats of violence or death against our elections officials. You know, 2/3 of all of our counties have now seen the loss of a top of election official due to death threats and threats of violence. And so we are, you know, making it clear through our actions and our words that if you engage in that kind of behavior, I'm going to put you in jail. We're working closely with local law enforcement, the FBI, and the U.S. Attorney's Office. The U.S. Attorney has also prosecuted some of these cases. Sometimes it's better, the cases are better to be brought by the U.S. Attorney. Sometimes they're better to be brought by me. One thing is going to be certain, and that is we don't want this in Arizona. Our poll workers, our election workers, our elections officials are the backbone of democracy. If they don't feel safe coming to work, then we can't have a democracy. And so I talked to Arizona's police chiefs and sheriffs this summer, and just a few weeks ago, we met together, all of us in Flagstaff, where I talked about this and said, hey, you know, if you see anything, if you have one of these cases, bring this case to me, we will prosecute it. And we're also in constant communication with Secretary of State Adrian Fontes about security, as well as with law enforcement about security around Election Day and our polling sites. So we have fully anticipate once again running and having a fantastic election in November. But, you know, we want people to be clear that we won't tolerate death threats against our elections officials.
The short time we have remaining, there's a case in Texas. The Southern District in Texas has declared the DACA program illegal. You filed a brief on in opposition to that decision. Can you tell us what's going on with that case?
Yeah, we did. So we have maintained strong support for DACA and filed a brief in support of it. We have 33,000 DACA recipients, Jim, in Arizona. So this is an issue that is incredibly important to our state. We will continue to forcefully defend DACA, not only in that case, but in any other case where this issue, where it is challenged. And, you know, Congress needs to pass immigration reform soon, so that DACA is fully and permanently protected. But this is a matter, as you guys know, DACA is a matter of economic security for our state. The DACA recipients are working in our economy. They are going to our schools. They are paying taxes in Arizona. And these folks are folks that deserve our support. We're going to continue to defend DACA going forward.
All right, let me sneak one more question in about water sustainability. Foreign-owned groups using Arizona land, mining our water for various things like the Saudis for growing alfalfa. The legislature, state legislature, seemed to have very little appetite for approaching this, what I consider to be, Chris Mays, a very serious issue.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, Bill. I agree with you, and I thought it was just, frankly, heartbreaking to once again see the legislature fail to get anything done on water, really. I would frankly wish the governor would have pushed this harder as well. We have got to protect rural Arizona against the folks who are coming in from out of state and sticking a straw in the ground and sucking water out with impunity. And we have two situations that this office is investigating and looking at potential action on. Watch this space, because I'm very serious about this. But one is down in Cochise County, where Riverview is pumping. It's a Minnesota-owned dairy, and they are pumping enormous amounts of water out of the aquifers of Cochise County, dewatering hundreds of wells in that area, wells of people who have been there, who predated Riverview, who are watching their life savings go up into thin air, be eviscerated because their wells are going dry, and who wants to buy a house whose well has gone dry and they're having to haul water. Ugh. And so, it's really, really awful. And, rural Arizona feels like they're being forgotten by this legislature, and they're not wrong for those sentiments. They're not wrong to have those sentiments. This legislature has completely failed rural Arizona. Same thing is happening in La Paz County, where phoned Imani, the Saudi-owned corporation, is still pumping water. Ugh. You know, we were able to get the Butler Valley leases canceled, but the governor has not yet canceled the Vicksburg leases. They are, in fact, they're, if anything, they are growing out there. And so we did a town hall out there as well. The United Arab Emirates also has a farm near Wendon, where the town of Wendon has sunk by 4 feet, Bill and Jim.
Oh, my goodness.
4 feet because of the extraordinary amount of pumping that is being allowed because our legislature can't get its act together and pass laws to protect our rural aquifers. And if we can't protect our water, then we can't protect our future. And everywhere I go, whether it's Republicans or Democrats or independents, everybody agrees with that sentiment. Everybody. This is by far the most bipartisan issue in the state of Arizona. And yet, for some reason, this legislature can't get anything done on it. So I certainly hope they do next year. But it's another reason we need to flip this legislature over into a party. Obviously, I think that's my party, the Democratic Party, mm-hmm. that will actually take the issue up.
Well, I'm glad I brought it up.
Sorry about that. I get a little worked up about this one.
Yeah.
But I get and like I said, you know, most of these places that I've gone, they're overwhelmingly Republican. And they just want help. They don't care that I have a D behind my name. They just want some help from their elected officials, and they deserve it.
All right. Chris Mays, always a pleasure. Thank you, Chris.
All right, guys. Good to talk to you. Thank
All right.
you.
Chris Mays, Arizona Attorney General. When we come back, joining Jim Nintzel and myself will be Tim Steller, the award-winning columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. That's after the quick break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Thank you to Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays. We learned some things there in that final 5 minutes when I asked about the water question, Jim Nintzel. The Saudis still expanding their pumping up in northwestern Arizona. Then we learned about Cochise County, about all these homeowners just being their wells completely run dry by a Minnesota company.
It's extraordinary that the legislature is failing to step up and do something about it.
Nothing.
I think, as the Attorney General said, you know, if we don't have a water future, we don't have a future.
Let's bring into the conversation our friend Tim Steller from the Arizona Daily Star. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. We learned some things there about that water situation, and it's not...
Yeah, I was glad I caught that.
Yeah, it's not a pretty picture, and it's not just up in northeastern Arizona on the road to Las Vegas. It's right here in our area of southeastern Arizona now.
Yep.
Tim, some of your thoughts on primary election 2024, and I know you posted on Facebook you thought there were three surprises.
Oh, I built it all the way up to five stories. Not
okay.
necessarily surprises in every case, but just
okay.
Biggest new. I mean, clearly, I think I'll be curious to see if Jim agrees, but, you know, Justine Wadsack losing to Vince Leach in the Republican primary in LD 17 was a big deal, is a big deal. She lost, it appears, by around 1,000 votes, is close. And this was a rematch of their 2022 race when she was a challenger and Leach was the incumbent. So they just flipped the results. I don't know. I was really surprised that the Republican primary electorate didn't want her. I thought that they were pretty all in with her, even though she had the recent news of a criminal speeding citation.
I think that was remarkable. I cannot think of a race where a primary, somebody who had lost in a primary 2 years earlier actually came back and reclaimed their seat. I think there were a lot of dynamics at work. You know, talking with Vince Leach, he said that this time out, he spent a lot of time introducing himself to people on Tucson's east side, where he was ran very, very poorly last time out. And he said there was a third candidate in the race last time. That was not a factor. And the other thing is, in 2022, he was stuck up at the legislature and not really able to campaign down here because the legislature was in session. And that scenario was reversed this time out, where Senator Wadsack was stuck up at the legislature and Vince was down here undermining her and campaigning against her.
Item number two, Tim?
In my list, number two is the margin of victory in Laura Conover's race against Mike Jetty. This is a Democratic primary for Pima County Attorney. Laura Conover, of course, is the incumbent, but she was being challenged by Mike Jetty, who is backed by, kind of in a similar fashion, backed vigorously by people who were part of the previous administration, Barbara LaValle's administration, and some of her deputies. But you know, I expected Conover to win, even though Jetty had a well-funded campaign, but man, I was not prepared for a 30 plus point victory margin. Democrats clearly prefer Conover to Jetty.
I think in this particular case, what I heard from a lot of Democrats was that this was the wrong message for a Democratic primary. You know, the typical voter in a Democratic primary is an older woman. And, you know, having a guy beating up on a woman is generally bad optics. I think Jetty ran the best campaign he could, but it was clearly not the right audience for it.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to go back and reanalyze or relitigate the decision, his decision to run in the primary versus the general election, because I don't know. To my mind, he is an independent. He isn't really a Democrat. He isn't really a Republican. And maybe he could have mounted an independent campaign and actually, you know, brought in Republican voters as well as independent and a few Democratic voters. Certainly, I think he probably could have performed better than 34% or whatever it was that he ended up with this time.
Yeah, I had no idea. I had predicted 5-10% victory for Laura, but that 2-1 margin was really shocking. Item number 3 on your surprise list for primary 2024.
Oh, I don't know if this is a surprise, but Heather Lappin won the Republican primary for Pima County Sheriff. And on the Democratic side, Chris Nanos beat his challenger, Sandy Rosenthal, handily, but Rosenthal, the challenger, got 40%. So anyway, the upshot is we have Lappin versus Nanos in the general election, which to me feels a lot like Napier versus Nanos 8 years ago, when Nanos was the existing sheriff and Mark Napier challenged him as a Republican, a moderate Republican, if you want to put it that way, and Napier won. And then, of course, Nanos came back and beat Napier. I don't know. Lappin may or may not have that kind of attraction as Napier did, but I think there's a decent chance that she wins or at least makes a good run of it against the incumbent. What do you think, Jim?
Oh, I would say the challenge there, as opposed to 8 years ago, is the politics have become even more polarized in those 8 years, and I think you have such a voter registration advantage here mm-hmm. in Pima County for Democrats that it will be tough, I think, for any Republican to win a race. Here, you know, the only Republican left across all the row officers in Pima County is the treasurer, Chris Ackerley, who was appointed to that position. Certainly, Pima County voters have preferred a Republican in that particular gig. But other than that, I think it's going to be tough sledding for all Republicans in Pima County and in the 2024 general, except for Steve Christie, who has a district that's written, supervisor Steve Christie has a district that's heavily Republican.
All right. Tim, you said that you've expanded your list of kind of surprises to 5. Well, I'm curious, curious about number 4 and 5.
Oh, again, not so much a surprise as just news. I thought Jen Allen's win in Pima County Supervisors District 3 was not so much a surprise, but it was she won handily. And one thing that's interesting, she goes up against Janet Wittenbraker, the Republican who ran for mayor of Tucson against Regina Romero last time and lost. I don't know. For me, it's interesting to see allies of Raul Grijalva win new seats. So this is a seat that Sharon Bronson held for so long. And while she certainly voted with Raul Grijalva a lot when they were on the board together, you know, this is Jen Allen kind of got, that was her base, or that was her organizing, organized backing was from that alliance. And so she's poised to add another office to the list of those held by allies of Grijalva.
Okay. Had a listener say that Sharon Bronson, the former chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, struck out at least on 2 strikes. She endorsed Mr. Jetty, and she also endorsed for
Edgar Soda,
her old seat. Yeah, Edgar Soda.
Did not do well on election day. So, yeah, I think I certainly heard that on election night with people saying that former Supervisor Bronson's influence certainly seems to be on the wane.
Mm. Another listener points out that Sheriff Nanos was involved with that federal investigation at the time when Napier won.
That's true.
And that's a point that perhaps well taken.
Tim's former colleague, Caitlin Schmidt, did some really great reporting on some of the stuff that was going on over in the jail in terms of some hinky contracts with a jail cafeteria, basically, that was being run over there. And I think that definitely damaged him in that effort to win that seat that he had been appointed to, actually, when longtime sheriff Clarence Dubnyk stepped down. So, I think, he will not have that, but there's certainly been some real issues at the jail, especially with all the inmates who have died. Heather works in the jail. I think that may be challenging for her to bring something up. And I think that the biggest problem with the jail is that even though the sheriff runs it, he doesn't fund it. And there's just, there aren't that many people out there who are like, hey, let's spend money taking better care of prisoners. It's just not the general public is not that sympathetic, despite the fact that we should be treating people in our care humanely. And I will say it's fortunate that they seem to have managed to not have any deaths of inmates in quite some time.
Tim, some more of your thoughts here quickly.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the thing is, yes, we don't have the cafeteria scandal, but there is the investigation by the Arizona Attorney General's office of an alleged sexual assault by a sheriff's department sergeant, I believe, against a fellow sheriff's department deputy. And the investigation is into how the sheriff's department handled the internal review. I believe I'm stating this right. Of that sexual assault. That's, I think, a pretty big deal, maybe almost on par, if not quite, with the cafeteria scandal of 8 years ago. So there's just these doubts or issues that I think continue to drag on us, which was shown in him getting only about 60% of Democratic votes as compared to his challengers, 40%.
Okay, Tim, what do you have coming up in the paper on the Star on Sunday?
Oh, I'm working hard studying up on big tech, cryptocurrency, and their efforts to influence politics.
Yeah, normally you'd be over there crafting this piece over at the old Rincon Market.
Yeah, not yet. I usually waited until I was banging my head against the wall, and then I would go over there and get a beer and hope for the best,
throw some darts against the wall and right. Yeah, see what sticks. Yeah. All right, Tim, thank you very much. Tim Stellar with the Star.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
Okay, Jim. What about you, Jim? What are you working on?
Everything. A magician never reveals his secrets.
Of course not.
Let me just say that I think we are incredibly lucky to have Tim Stellar still working at our morning daily and doing the work that he does.
I agree. All right, Mr. Gibson, Dan Gibson's coming up with Weekend Watch. May have you stick around, Jim, to hear what Dan's predicting for the weekend. Some ideas, not predicting, but suggesting ideas. All right, be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane in North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
All right, let's welcome the weekend now with Dan Gibson, Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where we give you the unofficial Buckmaster Show guarantee that it will be 10 degrees cooler over in Silver City because of the elevation. They're pushing, what is it, an even 90 degrees. Yeah, that's within our limit, our guarantee there, because we're over 100. Buckmaster Show sends so many of our listeners to that beautiful place. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the starting place for a nice trip over to about a three-hour drive to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're right at the doorstep of the Gila National Wilderness, which looks pretty darn good after all the rain they've had over there. Great way to get out and do some hiking. All right, let's welcome Dan Gibson now with some great suggestions for the weekend. And Jim Nintzel is still here with me in studio, so both of us say hi.
Yeah, we're getting the gang back together.
There you go.
What I mean? Next Friday, if Jim's still there, I'll come down. We'll do this in person. It'll be infinitely better. It's big new restaurant energy here in Tucson. Some of familiar favorites, but also in new locations. Let's start at the Baffert, which is at the Five Points area of town. It's 747 South 6th Avenue. Ben Forbes, local butchery legend, has finally opened his own shop. It is a butcher shop, but also you can get lunch and dinner. They're open from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. Sausage, steak, seafood, grill-ready meats, and more. But just lovely steaks, especially for dinner. Steak frites. They have a spicy chicken sandwich, a burger, salads, the whole thing. Ben does a great job. He's really an expert with meat, and totally worth checking out his new space.
Big dining energy is what you're saying.
Exactly. That is precisely what I'm saying, and you nailed it. That's exactly what I meant this entire time. Penelope Pizza, which had previously been located in the, at one point, I think it was at Cartel downtown. They have opened their own space in the over on the east side. So it's always nice to have a little bit of east side plug in there. They're over by the former, much beloved Century Gateway Theater, which is now a storage unit because, of course, it is over by Speedway and Kolb. The Airy Pizza Place is also salads and pastas and the whole thing. I personally enjoy their Sergeant Pepper Pizza, garlic oil-based smoked cheese blend, roasted Anaheim chili, sausage, green chili salt, and hot honey drizzle. Excellent choice all the way around.
Okay.
And they just opened on Friday, I believe.
Take item number three.
It's another relocated spot, Fat Boy Sandoz. They have been in the American Eco space for a couple years. They have opened in the Park Place Mall. Park Place Mall food court, shockingly interesting choices for a mall. But Fat Boy Sandoz sells Japanese-style sandwiches on milk bread. They have also some sushi-type items. But the sandwiches are really the best thing. A spongy, perfectly square bread filled with all kinds of toppings, including some dessert options, cream, strawberries. So they've got a whole bunch of exciting stuff. If you happen to be in the mall, maybe you're going by the H&M, maybe you're going to see a movie, stop by Fat Boy Sandoz. They are opening, I think they're opening this weekend. If not, they'll be open pretty soon.
Japanese-style sandwiches, Jim.
You know, that food court does have some very interesting places. I'd say Dan is completely correct about that, although they seem to come and go a little more rapidly than we might look.
This is very true. You gotta catch them early. But the Korean chicken place in there, really solid. Competitive with the Bonchon on the east side as well. So Oh My Chicken, excellent choice.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure. I will.
All right. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Jim, have a great weekend.
Thank you.